Philippians chapter 2. If you're not familiar with this passage, well, let me introduce it to you this morning. This is the Apostle Paul at his lyrical best. In fact, I say lyrical on purpose. Some say that the second part of this this reading, we come to it in a moment, it was actually an original New Testament time hymn, but we're not sure, but I think it probably was. So Paul says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If you are a carer, if you care for somebody, you are very specially welcome to our service this morning. It's the end of National Carers Week, and we thought we would dedicate this morning's service to you, affirm you, acknowledge you, and thank God for you and for what you do. I went browsing on the internet through the Carers Weekly website, and I came across this job description, kind of hoping we've got it on PowerPoint there. And if we can get it on the screen, if we got it on PowerPoint, that would be good. Carer's job description. I'll read it out for you. Likely to be appointed at short notice, probably overnight, and will be required to fulfill some or all of the following criteria. 1. Have the ability and stamina to work continual long days. 2. Be available for work up to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 3. Be required to carry out tasks that in other environments would require at least 2 people to undertake. 4. Be able to cope with high levels of stress. 5. Receive little or no income for carrying out the role. 6. Have a vastly diminished social life. 7. Work in isolation with little recognition from the outside world. 8. Communicate effectively with a wide range of professionals, including social workers, doctors, and other healthcare professionals. It's considered that 3 out of 5 of us will at some point in our life be carers for somebody. That doesn't include looking after little babies. It's calculated there are 6 million carers in the UK. 1 in 8 in the UK is a carer for somebody. 1.5 million carers are over the age of 60. And carers' unpaid contribution to the economy is £87 billion a year. That would buy quite a few Duck Islands, wouldn't it? Now, carers, if you're a carer, you know, you don't want my condescension. You don't want me to patronise you. But you sometimes want people to know just how hard it is, how difficult it can be to care. Carers want our support. They want to feel included. Despite all that's wrong with the world, the truth is people still care for their relatives. And as I went through the Carers Week website, it was good, but I just found it a bit negative, you know. I just didn't feel it celebrated carers enough. And I think there's something here we must celebrate. People care for each other. It's a profoundly human thing to do. To care for somebody. Not for financial reward. Not for promotion in society. But simply because we love. We have a responsibility and we care. Sometimes at weddings, I read this poem. I can't remember now whether it was written by a wife for a husband or a husband for his wife. But one of them has Alzheimer's and then the other is now caring for them. I have to say, this is a little bit of a tearjerker. You might just need the hanky out to dab at the corners of your eye at the end of it. I find it profoundly moving. This is the poem that they wrote for their spouse. At weddings, this is powerful, and it really does, you know, see people dabbing at their eye. And why not? I took you, love, in sickness or in health, for better or for worse. And now I live my promise out. Charmed with each other's youth, we could not know that someday you would drool and shuffle and forget your words, while I would keep my warmth and wit and swiftness. I use them now to cherish you, to wrap you round with gentleness and patient courtesy. I love you, dear. All the goods you have been to me still halo you. The promises we made hold and support us both. We are each other's cross, each other's greatest blessing. Isn't that beautiful? That's humanity at its highest. That's humanity at its shining, stunning best. That's humanity with everything it takes to be human. The pain, the suffering, the struggle, the victory, the success. At the heart of caring is love. Love that's given willingly, cheerfully, unselfishly. And at the heart of that love is the love of God, because God knows that this world is tough. God knows this world is not a holiday camp. It's not Legoland where all the faces are painted on in bright yellow paint and can't come off. This is a soft world, a world that's bruised easily, that hurts, that bleeds when cut. It's a world where God calls us to put our interests below someone else's interests, to care for each other and to love each other. Carers, in a sense, provide us with visual aids of everything that is to do with God's love and his care for us. Now, we thought at this point we'd do two things. In a moment, We let Andrew loose on this subject, he's going to come and in a moment and share a little with us of where his thoughts have led him. But before that, we thought we'd present a song.
It's a good job we have the grocery delivered by the supermarket. Trouble is, that means we hardly ever go out during the week. Sunday's the only day we do get out now. What did you make of last week's visiting speaker? He got quite heated, didn't he? I suppose he has to speak to the majority, but it does exasperate me sometimes. Okay, Jesus told the fishermen he was going to make them fishers of men, and they dropped what they were doing and followed him. And then he went on about hating the members of your family. I'm sure Jesus didn't mean that literally, did he? Preachers often seem to forget some of us have commitments we can't simply drop. Well, he should try looking after his brother for years and see if he feels he can leave everything and follow Jesus. Forgive me, I shouldn't have said that, should I? He didn't know we were there, did he? You know, I can't always square the circle, love your neighbour as yourself. When do I have time for that? Henry takes all my time, bless him. Henry, look up there, it's a buzzard. He used to love bird watching, but look at him now. He doesn't seem interested anymore. It's a shame. Come on, Henry, did you see it? Are you warm enough? Do you have any time during the week? It'd be nice to see another face from time to time. Do you think the home group would come to us now and again? I know we live out in the sticks and the rest of you live in town, but it would be a real treat. I can't get out and... Well, you don't want to hear me going on again, do you? Sorry. Here, give us a push, will you? This is a difficult and rough path.
I don't know if you picked it up in the passage we wrote. Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. When I was a kid, you know, in my class, going back, oh, we must have been about 7 or 8. If you'd asked us what we wanted to be when we grew up, you'd have probably got train driver, secretary, maybe a nurse. I wanted to work in my dad's bike shop. We weren't a class of higher achievers, in case you're wondering. It was not Eton. Now, if you ask children what they want to be, apparently, the most common answer you get is a celebrity. Get on a reality show and receive the adulation and applause of the common people. Give your autographs, launch your own brand of perfume, record and sell your fitness DVD, be followed by the paparazzi to the best clubs and parties, appear on the pages of Hello or OK magazine, whichever offers the most money. To receive all of that without ever needing to have the moral character to deserve such adulation and glory. That's what the Apostle Paul calls vainglory, empty glory, empty glory, vain conceit. And then Paul goes on to say, listen, let me tell you about Jesus. And he explains that they'd heard it before, but they're hearing it again. He explains to the Philippians about Jesus. He says, look, Jesus didn't have to come into the world. You or I, we had no choice. You or I were born, and nobody asked our permission. And we have to make the best of life as we can. But the Apostle Paul says, Jesus, you know, Jesus is God. Didn't need to come to earth. Could have stayed in heaven. None of us would have been any the wiser. We wouldn't have known. He wasn't forced to. He chose to come to earth. Earlier we were singing that beautiful song. It might have been new to some of you. Light of the world, you came down into darkness. open my eyes, let me see. I was actually singing the Welsh version, so I like it a bit better. It was translated by two friends of mine, David and Jill Timothy. And there's just a line that's not in the English. It says, you came to earth, and in Welsh it says, fel caethwas, as a servant, as a slave. It emphasizes how Jesus chose to come to earth and take on the role of a servant of humanity by choice. Chose to do it. It was something that he just wanted to do. And the Apostle Paul says he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Jesus chose to become a servant of human race. I guess he had other choices, but he chose to be a servant. I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have chosen that. But he did. And that, in a sense, was what inspired this whole service this morning. Because as I began to think of carers, I began to think about Jesus and say, you know, Jesus is the ultimate carer. Jesus is the ultimate example. Jesus is the ultimate one we turn to lead us and to guide us. So if you are a carer, welcome to our service this morning. We acknowledge you. We affirm you. We thank God for you. And may we commend to you Jesus, who gives us grace and strength to carry through. I hope you picked that up in the Beth Nielsen Chapman song. He was a woman struggling through life, and yet she knows that Jesus is carrying her through somehow through the storm, through the difficult times. That's Jesus. That's why we're here this morning. Not just because we get on well, not just because we enjoy our services, but because at the heart of this group, with all our faults, with all our imperfections, at the heart of our group is Jesus. And it's him we turn to. It's him we look for. Just think at this point, before we sing our closing hymn, it would be good if we bowed our heads for a second and prayed. Father, we adopt, we take on many uniforms and many roles as we go through life. The helpless baby, the reckless toddler, the curious and energetic child, the rebellious teenager. The wild student, the passionate lover, the professional, the worker, the retired person. Lord, these are all aspects of our life. Sometimes, in some ways, some of us are different. Some of us go through things that others don't. Lord, we're all different, but at different times of our life, we're different things. And Lord, many of us at some time in our life are carers. So we give you thanks, Father, that as we care, we follow Jesus. That as we care, we can look to Jesus for strength and help. And at the end of the day, Lord, we turn back and we say, well, I don't know how I made it, but somehow God carried me through. So we pray for our carers. We thank you for those who are here this morning. We pray your blessing into their lives. Lord, we pray that they might realize how affirmed and encouraged and loved they are by you. That their ministry is a holy ministry, a sacred ministry a blessed ministry. It's a ministry that bears in its essence the DNA of God, the love of Jesus, the servanthood of the Most High. Lord, I pray that as they kneel to tie up shoelaces or pull on shoes, they might also kneel before you and receive their ministry from you. Bless our carers. Give us grace, Lord, to affirm them and not to patronize them, to encourage them and not to dishearten them, to include them and not to exclude them, to love them and care for them and support them. This, Lord, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.